You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, we are talking through bridge-building play. Say that two times fast, but this is still within the control and safety themes category. So there are quite a few of these control and safety themes, and we're just making our way through them one by one. We went through all of the fixing play over the last month or so, and now we're in bridge building play. So really fascinating work. I love bridge building play. It always is so subconscious and deep and just, oh my gosh, it's like you can just watch things happen when a child moves into bridge building play. So as a broad explanation, when a child builds any kind of structure, so I want to make it clear. I mean, obviously, if you do sand work, you will likely have actual bridges on your sand shelves, right? So yes, of course, if a child actually puts a bridge, then clearly bridge play, right? But this is much more broadly defined in that if a child builds a structure that serves as a bridge, so it can be with Hot Wheels tracks, it can be with wooden train tracks, it can be with a rope, it can be with knives taped together, it really doesn't matter. If they create or build any kind of structure that serves as a bridge between two things, that is considered bridge building play. So it can be a bridge between two things, between two objects, between two characters in the play, between two places. So really a connection between any two things that is constructed can be thematically identified as bridge building play. And I think that when bridge building takes place, whether through use of an actual bridge, for example, in a sand tray, or in a lot of times army sets have little bridges and things. So sometimes you have built-in bridges in your room, but if they make one, it's just as effective. And there are several meanings that I think are helpful for us to unpack together. So the first is sometimes often kids feel stuck when they come to play therapy, right? We talk about that all the time. They feel stuck on one end of the pendulum. So if kids have felt stuck with not being able to move, not being able to grow, not being able to heal, not being able to connect with others, not being able to control their emotions, not being able to regulate their behavior, they feel stuck, right? And when you feel stuck, you don't necessarily see that there's a way to get where you'd like to go. So often, if you see bridge building play, the child is actually beginning to feel some hope about reaching out to the goal that they're trying to achieve. So I can either connect to others better, I can regulate my behavior better, I can, you know, control myself better, whatever. There's all kinds of ways that they can interpret that, but it's essentially an indication of hope because they believe that it is possible to cross over to where they'd like to go. So that's really powerful. Another meaning is sometimes they're trying to actually make connections between things that have happened in their lives. So events or situations or circumstances or roles that have taken place, they're actually trying to connect those two things together. So again, that's why I mentioned this is pretty deep work, because at a cognitive level, this isn't necessarily obvious, but there's usually a much deeper undercurrent and undergirding going on when kids are playing out bridges. So connections between things that have happened in their lives is another potential meaning. A third, sometimes, actually often, bridges are involved in some kind of rescue or some kind of problem solving. So, you know, I have to get from here to here, I need a bridge. They need to be rescued, so I have to build a bridge to get them. They're stuck, I have to have the bridge to get them back. So that rescue and problem-solving type of scenario often closely aligns with bridge building as well. And obviously there would be a different motivation in that kind of meaning versus feeling hopeful about being able to grow and change. So manifests itself in the same way, but the rationale is a little bit different as far as like the meaning to the child. And then finally, I actually talk about this quite often with parents because I think this best illustrates why a child is seeing the bridge in this kind of context. So keep in mind, you know, child-centered, developed from person-centered, straight out of Rogers, right? So, I mean, if we track this back theoretically, we understand that the self-actualization process and everything that Rogers posited about human nature is that as we self-actualize, we try to go from our actual to our ideal. And we at least understand that my ideal is over here, my actual is here, and I'm constantly working toward bringing those two things closer together, right? So when we see bridge building play, when we see change and growth and all of the things that unfold in the playroom, we often are aware that this is the bridge between the ideal and the actual. So ideally, I want to be brave, but actually I'm scared of everything. How do I bridge that? Ideally, I want to be obedient, but actually I am dysregulated and I get in trouble every single day. How do I connect these two things together? So even the child-centered play therapy process as a whole is a bridge. I think that's why this bridge building play resonates with me so much, because I actually view this entire process and this entire theoretical model as a bridge between ideal versus actual selves. So I think that's just kind of my word picture for it. But I explain that to parents often too, that a child is constantly trying to bridge the gap between their ideal and their actual selves. And as those two things become more closely linked and more closely tied and closer together, the child is able to handle things in the way that they want to, which is with confidence and with self-trust and with self-regulation and all of the things that they're building. So ideal versus actual also plays in my mind, in bridge building play, because I think the entire process serves as a bridge for kids in therapy. So I hope that's helpful for you. I hope that when you see bridge building play, it makes you as excited as it does me. Maybe it's just me, I don't know. But if you would like some more training opportunities, please feel free to go to playtherapynow.com. We have cohorts that start every 3 months or so. And if you would like to get involved in a much deeper training program, I'm telling y'all, the people that have been a part of my training since early this year, it is incredible. The growth and the confidence and the changes and the strengths and the skills and everything. Oh my gosh, I'm so, so happy for everybody that's been in this training with me. So if you would like to take your knowledge to the next level, if you'd like to be in private practice, please check out playtherapynow.com and you can get more information there. I'd be happy to have you in a future group. As always, you can reach me at brenna@thekidcounselor.com. If you'd like to send me a question or shoot me an email, let me know that you're listening and whatever you'd like to share. I always love to hear from you and I do read every single email. So no one curates them for me. No one filters them for me. I read every single one. So I'm grateful when you reach out and let me know that. I actually just a couple of minutes ago got an email that said, thank you for going along with me when I fold my laundry and clean my house. So I'm happy to go where you go and share in your little small parts of your life with you. I'm very grateful for each and every one of you. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.